Boy, great, great information. By the way, you don't know this yet, but we have secured the Kona hot chocolate truck for our outside Easter service. It's kind of a big deal. Easter, we're inviting Hope at Home. Everybody here, we're going to have a major drive-in church, and so it's going to be great. And Pastor Zach, you did a good job last Sunday when Pastor Kevin and I were suffering in Costa Rica for the Lord. By the way, our trip was planned way before all of that beautiful weather came our way. I will say I was the envy of my neighborhood. I bought a snowblower about 4 years ago off of a guy for $15. It's electric. And he said, "You'll never use this." I said, "There will be a day." I was so proud using that thing. I mean, it was all good. So, all right, we're in this series. And it's called Connect the Dots. It's about having better, more quality relationships. And last week, while we were in between services, I met a man, or kind of a young guy, named Jose. And I want you to see his picture. And what was interesting about Jose is that his shirt was wet with tears. He had absolutely been sobbing. And we were talking through a translator. He'd been in prison for 12 years. And his occupation up to that point, he was a drug runner. And because of the things that he had done, both of his parents, in revenge towards Jose, both of his parents were murdered. And he was, you know, hands over his face, and his shirt was just wet. And it's because of what he told us. And this is what he said. He said, "Today, I forgive them who murdered my parents." I mean, my jaw dropped. And the only thing I could do was just grab him and give him a big old bear hug and just let him weep in my arms. And I mean, what he did, I don't even know. It's so difficult to let go of pain. And whatever kind of happens, it's so difficult to let go of pain and begin to experience the power of healing that comes from knowing Jesus. But this is exactly what I saw in him. And this is not an unusual thing. We're at a place called The Refuge, and really it's guys who've come off of the streets, and there's a refuge for them as they continue to grow and build in the Lord. This is what the scriptures say, and it relates to this. In Romans chapter 12, it says this: "Don't repay anyone for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." In other words, when somebody is pushing your buttons, and we talked about that 2 weeks ago, what do you do with the people who push your buttons? When somebody is pushing your buttons, it doesn't mean that you have to push back. When somebody attacks your character, it doesn't mean that you have to push back. This is a difficult verse in the Bible, but here's why it's important. It's hard to be happy and harbor hate at the same time. And Jose was a great example to me last Sunday of somebody who was not denying the awful thing that happened, but saying, "God, I need you to intersect my life because I haven't done what I ought to do, but I need to forgive." And Jesus talks about this in Luke. He says, "If you love only those who love you, why should you get any credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money to only those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners lend to other sinners for a full return." I mean, this is hard stuff. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. And you will truly be acting like children of the Most High. for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. You know, what was Paul saying there in Romans 12? He's saying you don't need to repay evil for evil. Jesus is saying for your own good, live in a way that's honoring to the Father. Why? Because when hatefulness comes in the front door, your happiness goes out the back door. And then there's this other part of the verse that I very much appreciate. In Romans 12, 18, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As much as possible. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I'm so glad that God didn't leave out the first two parts of this verse, and it just says, live at peace with everyone. God gives two principles that relate to living at peace with everyone. He says, if it's possible and as far as it depends on you. What is God saying here? Well, the scripture is very clear. Don't repay evil for evil. Do what's right before God. But then God reminds us this. Some people, no matter how hard we try, you're not going to live at peace with them. And many times it's just not your fault. No matter how you try to appease, no matter how you tried to please, no matter whatever you did, you just couldn't get there. You, at some time in life, are going to realize you can't please everybody. No matter how hard you try, there are some people who are absolutely going to be unpleasant. But the scripture is clear. As much as possible, and sometimes it's impossible, as far as it depends on you. In other words, you can't control everybody's reaction, but you can, just like Jose chose to do, he can control his own action. As far as it depends on you, let's just talk about that for a couple minutes. What can you do in connecting the dots to have better relationships, even in the midst of trial and conflict? I wanted to make this super simple, so it's just going to be A, B, C. All right, just to make sure you're not sleeping, let's kind of do that. I think this is probably like the second time I've been the pastor here that I'm going to have you like repeat after me. So just do it to kind of make me feel good today. At home as well. All right, ready? A,
B, C.
I don't know why I don't do that. Let's just do that. That's like really cool. So one more time. Come on, somebody's thinking Michael Jackson right now. Anybody? Yeah, all right. He disappointed me. He was my only hope to live forever. He was going to be cryogenically frozen, and then they were going to thaw him out when they found the cure, and not even Michael could make it. The truth is, none of us are going to get out of here alive, so we need to figure out how to make the best that we can make it. And here, all right, A, act first. You try to be the peacemaker. The only way that you and I are going to resolve conflict is to face it. And, you know, here's the thing. We don't like that. I mean, I don't want to deal with conflict. I'm scared. You're human. I mean, we don't want to deal with the emotion of it. We don't want to deal with maybe being rejected. We don't want to deal with being misunderstood. We don't want to say something in conflict and all of a sudden it's spun around and used against us. So it's just a whole lot easier to say, I don't think I want to deal with it. You need courage to deal with conflict. There's no way to do it. Cowards don't deal with conflict. And none of us like conflict, so how do we find the courage to deal with it? I love this verse. In 2 Timothy, it says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. When your love is greater than your fear, you do things you're afraid to do. When you are connected with God Almighty, He can give you and me the strength in the spirit of love to confront these situations that cause conflict in our lives. And it is not easy to deal with conflict. But God has called you to be a bridge builder instead of a wall builder. And if there's one thing our world needs right now, are more people who will build bridges. I don't like conflict. And neither do you. But if you want to connect the dots and have better relationships, even in the midst of problems, you are the one who has to act first. Okay, next letter. Okay, I lost half of you, but that's okay. Nobody wants to hear this. Like, maybe. Yeah, I understand. B, here it is. And this is another thing. You're going to love this. No, you're not. B, begin with humility. Oh. They may be 99.9% wrong, and you're only 0.1% wrong, and you begin with the 1% first. It's called humility. And we are sorely lacking humility in our society. It's not weakness. It's strength under God's power that allows you and me to act first, to try to build a bridge, and then to admit that we're not always right. It's called humility. Instead of accusing, attacking, blaming, it's being humble. And Jesus talks about this, and why does Jesus talk about it? Because we all have blind spots. The Sermon on the Mount, a very famous sermon in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says this: why do you notice the piece of dust, or in another translation, it talks about a splinter in your own eye, but you don't know, or in somebody else's eye, but you don't know the piece of wood, or like a telephone pole in your own eye? And Jesus is saying this: it's so easy to point out the faults of somebody else instead of looking at the faults in us. If you really want to have better relationships, I mean, you really do, then you need to be the one who acts first, and you need to be the one who begins with humility. More relationships, more marriages, more friendships die because of a lack of humility. I'm unwilling to make the first move. I am unwilling to compromise. I am unwilling. And then here's what happens in life. You get stuck. And you're just stuck. And when I mean stuck, I mean you don't really know how you got where you are, and you have no idea how to get out of where you are. This last week in Costa Rica, I felt stuck. Went to breakfast, no big deal, I was hungry, and we were told we needed to put on surgical gloves in order to get our food. And I'm like, okay, no big deal, give me a surgical glove. The problem is that the gloves were like extra small surgical gloves. And so they're putting them on these hands. And they're putting these gloves on my hands, and the gal, I mean, like, she's stretching them over me. I've got a picture of what my hand looked like after I had the glove on. Yeah. I had to hurry and get food because I thought I was going to lose all of my fingers and my hands. Well, then that was just, so I finally could sit down. I had to unpeel the gloves off. And then the little gal, she comes to our table, and she says, "Sir, yeah, because of your condition..." You mean like my hands? Yeah. She said, "From now on, I will get all of your food for you. If you need extra food or coffee because of your condition, I will get it for you." And I'm like, I mean, what do you do? Oh, now, thank the Lord, the next day, they had gloves that fit. I'm like, my condition, I'm good. But you know, have you ever been there? You're just stuck. You're like, okay, I want the food. I want to have a happy relationship. I don't know what to do. I'm just stuck. And it's like wearing these gloves. It's super awkward. And I'm literally stuck. Let me tell you how to get unstuck in your relationships. Five words. I'm sorry I was wrong. That's how you get unstuck. I'm sorry I was only thinking about myself. That is how in life you get unstuck. And it's super hard. It's super hard when you're offended and you're right to be humble. It's super hard when somebody hurts you, but you don't realize that forgiveness a lot of times isn't about the other person, it's about you. Because when you harbor hatred, when hatred comes in the front door, your happiness goes out the back door. Do you think, I mean, Jose, he may never see the people who killed his parents. They will maybe never tell him, hey, we're sorry for doing that. He had to forgive, not for their good, but for his good. Because it was eating him alive. And he connected with God Almighty, and God broke his heart and said, you're not the only one who's had pain. There was conflict with the world, and what did I decide to do? I decided to give my son. Where Jose was I when your parents were dying? The same place I was when they murdered my son. I get it. On the cross, Jesus could have, at the mention of a word, annihilated everybody who was against him. And instead, what did Jesus do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, understand that it wasn't that they didn't know they were killing him. They knew they were killing him. They knew what they were doing, but the magnitude of what they were doing, they had no understanding. This is the Son of God that they hung on the cross. They bartered for his clothes. God understands when we go through pain. God understands when things are not right. And people hurt us. I'm not talking about today denying when somebody offends us. I'm not talking about allowing somebody to continue in a lifestyle that is damaging to us. What I'm talking about is if it is possible with you, you can't control everybody else, but you can control you, and you can do whatever you need to do to act first. You can do whatever you need to do to begin with humility and don't have to be right. Oh, we can be right and so very wrong, depending on tone, depending on attitude. Of course we can. Third letter. See, I learned that. Yes, like we're all speaking Spanish today. Sí, señor. You have a condición. Get it. Sí, yeah. Sí, here's a big deal. This is going to help you. We're kind of connecting the dots with relationships. Consider the cause. Act first, begin with humility, and then consider the cause. When I get hurt, and when you get hurt, our natural tendency is to hurt back. I'm hurting, and because of the hurt that I'm feeling, I have a sharper tongue or a quicker reaction or act in a way that maybe is not a way that I would normally act, but because I'm hurting, I'm going to act in a certain way. So what do you do with that? Well, James is super clear. In James chapter 1, he says this, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. So he's not angry. Look at the tone there. My dear brothers and sisters. He's not He's not upset. He says this, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So what is the encouragement that we find? What is the practical application from what James is talking about here? He's saying you need to not just hear, but you need to listen. You see, that's the key component. When you understand where people are coming from, when you understand their circumstances, when you understand their background, when you understand their perspective, you've got to listen. I remember young in ministry, I went to the psych ward and I was talking to a young man and I was so angry because he had done something he shouldn't have done with a younger child. And I was just so angry until he began to tell me. I said, you know, bro, I love you. What is going on? And he said this, I only was doing what had always been done to me. And I thought, okay, that's a different perspective. That if I wouldn't have listened and just been in rage and whatever else I was feeling, that's a whole different reality. And I think sometimes it's easy not to listen, but to just try to get our point across. And sometimes we have to understand that hurting people hurt people. And we have to hear what's going on. We have to intentionally shift our focus from our needs, which is hard to do, to care about somebody else and what they're feeling. Who cares if you win an argument and you're destroyed in the battle? And this might be a shock to you, but there is not one person on this planet who will agree with you about everything. I know that's a little bit of a shock, but people are different. We all have different personalities. Men and women are different. Does anybody know that? Yeah, we're different. We're not always going to agree on stuff. Even in age, things are different. There are so many different dynamics, and you're not going to find everybody who agrees with you about everything. Can you have a loving relationship without agreeing on everything? Of course you can. You learn to disagree, but you do it in a way that's not disagreeable. It's called maturity. It's called wisdom. You can have unity without uniformity. It's called wisdom. You can actually learn to walk hand in hand without seeing eye to eye. It's called wisdom. And if you want to be like Jesus, then act first and try to build a bridge instead of building a wall. Because everybody's building walls. If you want to be like Jesus, then at some point you're going to have to realize your condition and you're going to be humble. And it's not easy to be humble because we want to be right. And we want to be right because we know you're wrong, right? That's how we think. And if you really want to be like Jesus, then you need to not just hear what's going on in your own head. And you need to truly listen to the heart of somebody else. I am telling you, friends, this makes a difference. I am so thankful that Christ didn't give you and me what we deserve. I'm so thankful that God, in the midst of the conflict between man and God, chose to give his son. And I'm so thankful that Jesus says to Peter, after you deny me, this is what I want you to do. In other words, he was already building a bridge. He knew that Peter was going to swear publicly and deny him three times. He knew it. He knew it. And Peter became one of the pillars of the church because of that. I don't really know how else to say this, but like this, you're most like Jesus when you're building bridges. You're most like Jesus when you take the first step, as much as you can. You're most like Jesus when you're not being walked on, but you're choosing your steps when you walk. You're most like Jesus when you're not just listening to a situation, but you're hearing what is going on. Last thought, I kind of wrote down these words. As far as it depends on you, let's connect the dots and have better relationships. I made this easy to remember, ABC, because it's so stinking hard to do. I didn't want it to be complicated at all. I wanted you to be able to say, oh, it's just as easy as ABC. Yeah, but this is not easy to do. Truthfully, it's much easier to dissolve a relationship than to build a relationship. It's way more rewarding when you build relationships than dissolve relationships, but it's a whole lot easier to dissolve them. As we think about communion this morning, it's all about relationship. And I'm going to have Pastor Zach come, and he's going to lead us in communion. And again, we'll have you receive communion on the way out. We're just trying to do the best we can to be sensitive to everybody and not passing a cup and all that kind of stuff. But Pastor Zach's going to come. But before he does, I want to pray. I want to pray with you that God will bless us. This must be a special time. The lights just went out. Just as a side note, I don't like that in restaurants. I like the lights to be super bright because I want to see what's crawling around on the floor. Just saying. Here's what God's doing today. He's shining the light on you're in my heart. And he's saying, hey, how you doing with A, B, C? Anything you need to do to act first, anything you need to do to be a little more humble, anything you need to do to realize that the person you're talking to may not be understood, and there may be dynamics going on that you are unaware of that will completely change your thinking. At first, when we walked up to Jose, I thought, wow, that's a grown man crying. What if I would have just walked by Jose and thought, yeah, suck it up, dude. Grow up. Very rarely have I had somebody hug me and shake because they actually forgave the people who murdered their parents. shaking in my arms, because that is how big God is. He can literally help somebody forgive one of the worst atrocities I could ever imagine. So I want to pray for you that God will bless you and that He'll help you to take one more step in connecting the dots so you'll have better relationships. Father, thank you. God, thank you that you absolutely love us, and that if anyone is considerate, it's you. Anyone is forgiving, it's you. Anyone who wants to build a bridge in our lives, it's you. And God, the truth is, some of us can't forgive because we don't feel forgiven. We've never accepted the gift of your Son. We've never accepted that He died on the cross for us, that we might be able to have power beyond our own power, that we might be able to have courage, that we might be able to love the unlovable. There is such a strength in knowing you. And God, I pray that we would grab hold of that today. And as we sing this last song, as we think about and contemplate communion, help us, I pray, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.